Yo, what up? And welcome to another episode of Straight From The Stands, an unapologetic, unofficial LA Galaxy podcast hosted by 4,000 supporters who bring you their thoughts and views on everything related to LA Galaxy straight from the stands. I am your co-host, Smarts, alongside the always angry Angel, his counterpart, level-headed George, and the man with the facts, Massa. This is Straight From The Stands.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Damn, good evening. Someone to say it.
Yeah, good evening.
Hey. Special guest, say good evening.
Good evening.
God damn. Holy shit.
Fuck, we have Mr. Roboto as a special guest, everybody. If you guys want to know who in the FO is going to be, it's Mr. Roboto.
You know, you think that that he had better equipment or some shit, huh?
You think the Galaxy paid good, huh?
Shit. You think he get... No, you know what? No wonder they're always selling tickets to LAFC fans.
This is why we need Gio to be sold, everyone. The Galaxy need to let go of his contract to let the... Let the workers get some, you know, some nice compensation.
All that money that we're spending on GOAG can pay our employees more money, so you know they can stop doing some shady shit.
I should just come over to George's house.
That's fine. So Malter, how are you?
Yeah, for those who don't know, Jonathan Malter, FO. Malter, present yourself, please. Let the people know what you do.
Who are you? What do you do?
What do you do for the Galaxy?
A lot.
So what's your official title for the Galaxy?
My official title is Supervisor of Fan Engagement.
What is that?
Formerly Supervisor of Supporter Relations.
That's what's on his LinkedIn, by the way. Go look at his LinkedIn picture.
AKA, make sure Angel's not mad.
That's a full-time job in and of itself.
Yeah, trust me. I've been his best friend since high school. I feel for you. I get him on the weekdays. You get him on the weekends.
No, I have deal with him on the weekdays, too.
There so, Malter, let's do a little something right here. We've known you now for over a year, because you've been you essentially took over Pit Sattel's role. Can't confirm nor deny that was the case, but we met you I think around this time last year, if I'm not mistaken. It was just it was late January, so it's probably just a little over a year. We probably connected pretty good in New York. You told us a little bit about yourself, and you know. The whole
New
nine
York
and
was a shit.
Yeah, New York was wild. But tell us a little bit about how you even got into the MLS, how you got a job in the MLS. I remember you mentioned that you were part of some MLS program and, you know, back home where you're from in Kansas City, so you're a fake ass Galaxy fan and all that stuff. So, you know, let the listeners know, you know, tell them a little bit about you and, you know, just let them know that every time that they're ripping the front office a new one, they're just hurting somebody's feelings.
Yeah, there's a human behind all of the Twitter fingers, believe it or not. I started with Major League Soccer in 2012 with Sporting Kansas City. I did operations there. I was an intern during college for 2 years. After that, I went to the National Sales Center, which is a program put on by Major League Soccer. From there, I was only in Minnesota for about 2 months. It was very cold in January. Landed a job with the Galaxy as a season ticket sales rep, and the rest is history. So my first time getting to work with you guys was San Jose.
Nah. You already said
dealing. Mm-hmm. Dealing. It came out naturally.
The infamous cup holder game up at Avaya, that was took the ACB bus up for anyone that was on that bus.
Which one?
The cup holder game. The cup holder game.
The cup holder game at Avaya.
Can't confirm nor deny that cup holders went missing.
All right, so that was your first interaction with us, but you mentioned at that point you were a ticket rep, correct?
Yeah, that was right when Michael Gasparo was transferring out from the supporter role to a supervisor of ticket services, so dealing with all the other sections or getting to work with all the other sections other than supporters. And then that's when Adrian and I tag-teamed the role and split it up, and we're both working on it.
Okay, so and since then, your role has now been transitioned to just this full-time supporters relation, right?
That is correct. Yeah. So I work with all the first year accounts. So everyone who has just purchased season tickets within our supporters sections, I'm their service executive. Then I also handle the operations, security, work a little bit on the marketing side with Chris Thomas and Brendan as well.
What about Alex Merced? What does he do? He's my favorite, by the way.
Wow. Yeah. Alex is a good friend of mine. Well, working with Alex does all the other accounts other than the first year season ticket members. So he would probably work more closely with Angel, George, Glenn, those guys. So on a day-to-day, I mean, it just depends on if it's the off-season. During the off-season, we're trying to get things ready for the preseason, and regular season comes rather quickly. There's not really too much of an off-season around the stadium. So just trying to get things ready for the next season. And then obviously during the season, we just go game by game, trying to make sure everything's ready, everything's buttoned up. You guys have everything you need to be as loud in the stands as possible.
I'm glad you would.
And also trying to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah. Oof. Do you remember San Jose last year?
Outside San Jose last year, of course. You gotta post that picture.
Oh shit! No. Oof, man. That night was actually, as a matter of fact, because we brought that up next week, we're having Chris Seller on here, so you guys are gonna get to hear that story. All right. Well, appreciate that. So, we'll jump into now, I guess, just kind of some of the questions, you know, that some of the people had reached out, you know, just. Already quick intro, who you are, what you do, and you know how you pretend to work and you really don't do much and just deal with me apparently. So I know George was gonna lead it from here because I know he had all the good stuff really lined up for you, because you know people, at least from what I've, at least for, it's been a while that anyone from the front office has joined any of the podcasts that I've heard in a while, so there's been a lot of stuff that's happened obviously since last year up to now, so I'm sure there's things that people are gonna want to hear. And
there you go, and we appreciate you for coming on. Honestly, we didn't think this could happen, but thank you for making us the official Los Angeles Galaxy unofficial podcast. Oh, and for those of you that remember, we said we had sponsors. Jonathan and Alex are both of those sponsors, which we never received any money for, so we're giving them free publishment right now.
When we're done, just send me your Venmo and I'll Venmo you.
Oh, there it is. Perfect. All right, let's get into it. A lot of questions that we got from our Twitter handles were a lot of stadium related questions. There was a couple questions that we could get into a little later in regards to last week. I don't know if you've heard about the episode, but a little bit about what happened with Zlatan, the supporters, being that you are kind of associated with supporters relations. I think it'd be a little beneficial, not beneficial, but it'd be good to get your perspective on things and how, what you guys see moving forward and what the plan is, what your ideas are, what your thoughts are in regards to that, what makes your job easier, those type of things.
Fire away.
Yeah, so here we are from One Round Football on Twitter. In regards to the atmosphere, we think that all we want from the stadium and casual fans are supporters to change about how they change the make. Damn, this is really hard. How about the change? Make the entrance of players less lame and let more organic supporter originality become the norm and move out of the way to let us handle. I don't really know what he was trying to get. Maybe the...
Is there a question in there?
Yeah, I don't know. One Round Football, if you could get back to us with that, maybe we could have Malter get you that. Or maybe, Andrew, you could edit this one out.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, cool. Next question comes from Nelson. Nelson121 takes really good pictures. If there's one thing you could change about the stadium, what is that?
Man, that's a fantastic question. I think being in the role and... the role that I'm in and having the chance to go to number of different stadiums with you guys through the away travel. I think I've seen a good share of stadiums, and having worked for two different MLS teams, I think I have a good perspective on, you know, things. StubHub is one of the, well, I guess Dignity Health Sports Park now is one of the cooler stadiums and one of the more unique stadiums I've ever been to. I'm a huge fan of the campus. I'm a huge fan of all the different things like the supporter soccer we were able to do with you guys a couple of weeks ago. I think moving into 2020, some of the changes I would like to see are already kind of in motion. With the north end going to a standing section, I think that's the way that the league is headed. And I think, you know, as we continue to have backing from Mr. A and, you know, Dan Beckerman downtown, I think, you know, some of these things will become a reality within the next 12 to 18 months.
That's really good. I know north end is the way the trend that it's moving to. What would you say for those that say it's a little reactionary to what we see across the way at Chivas USA?
Yeah, so I've been with obviously the Galaxy since 2015, and I've sat in on a few different meetings in regards to safe standing, so I can tell you that these meetings were well in motion before what was going on down the way. If anything, I wouldn't compare what we're doing and what we have to what's going on closer to the heart of LA. I would, you know, when I look at around the league, I think, you know, if anything, it's going to be reactionary, and I wouldn't even say that's the right term. I think DC United did a pretty good job with what they've got going on. They've got a couple different supporter groups in a couple different areas over at RFK. They built one huge north, I don't even know what direction it is, but one large standing room only, and they went on a little bit of a run there towards the end of the season, and I don't think that that was any coincidence based on the support that they got with what they built.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good answer. Just I know it's hard for us, you know, we know that those meetings have taken place and those conversations have taken place, so it's hard for us to kind of put that out there. So it helps when you, obviously, from a perspective where you're day in and day out work with everything that's happening in the FO, you could come out and say, you know what, well, these meetings have happened. It's just, it hasn't really been said. Do you think any transparency to the regular fans on these meetings, or what do you think could bridge the gap in between people saying it's reactionary to, or for another term, us trying to move forward? What do you think could happen in regards to that?
Let me challenge that really quick, though, what Malter just said.
Okay.
Because you said that it was 2015 that you was having these conversations, right, and about safe standing. I brought this up last episode. We've been, when I say we as ACB collectively as a whole, have been asking and pushing for North End for quite some time, even before I was part of leadership. Glenn was there before I was. If you guys heard the episode last week, he mentioned that stuff was already happening even before he was in it. So we're talking about a time period even before Malter came into the picture, right? So when you say it's not reactionary to what's going on in, you know, in my neighborhood out in South Central, not in downtown LA, I don't know if I fully believe you there. You know, that it's not reactionary because, sure, the conversation may have been happening as far back as 2015, but technically the conversations are probably going down even longer than that. Now, does that mean that because you're having conversation doesn't mean that you're interested in actually making it happen? So it seems, if you're asking me, right, it seems it is reactionary because we've had conversations for a long time, and it seems that now all of a sudden you guys are willing to put that money. Right, and I know this is not your decision because at the end of the day, you're supporter relations, but you say that you sat in those meetings. So I want to know what's happened in those meetings and how those meetings have changed from, hey, we're not doing this, to, hey, now we're going to do it, but it is not reactionary to what they're doing.
Right. So I think there is a lot more that goes into it than meets the eye. I know on your guys' end, you know, between getting the chance together, between all of that kind of stuff that goes on your end, there is a ton of work that has to go in on our end, you know, to changing the manifest, you know, to, you know, the online sales, everything that, like the outer maps that you guys see where ACB is in 121, you got Riot Squad in 137, 138. Those maps actually, we don't create those. They come from a different company. So a lot of it goes in and, you know, there's a certain deadline. So if, you know, we're looking to create a safe standing supporter section on the North End for 2020, those things have to happen now. You know, we're already planning the ticket process, we're already planning the maps and everything for 2020, even though the 2019 season hasn't even started. So obviously there's only so much that, you know, I know when it comes to these meetings. Obviously, you know, when it goes all the way up in the financial backing of AEG, I think that's a little bit above my pay grade, or quite a bit above my pay grade. But, you know, I think that's the direction that the league is moving, where, you know, in 2015, there was probably one or two stadiums with safe standing. I think I might be wrong here, but I know Orlando City might have been one of the first, and that came in 2015, I think, 2014, 2015, somewhere in there. So I think as the league continues to evolve and change, you know, we have to adapt as well. And that's, you know, when you have teams like Cincinnati's going to build a stadium, Minnesota, they just built that incredible stadium up there. You know, we don't have the benefit of building a stadium from scratch. We have to adapt with what we have, and I think with the financial backing of AEG, we have that opportunity.
Okay. Boom. So fuck you, Angel.
So just to reiterate what you said in a summary, basically, it's you've had the conversations. The only reason it hasn't happened is because other stadiums had built it. You see that other stadiums were able to build it. The Galaxy needs to adapt to what the rest of the MLS is doing. So now you guys have decided to do standing section also.
I don't know if there's a question in there.
No, he was just kind of summarizing what you were saying for you to say yes or no.
Yeah, I think so. And I guess to you know, George's point, when you said, you know, what's the what's, you know, how do we educate more fans into the inside of the FO? I think, you know, our goal is as a fan engagement department, supporter relations department, is to be as transparent as possible. And I think one of the important parts of that is just educating people. So having opportunities like this to let you guys see kind of inside of what goes on at Dignity Health day to day, because it is a lot of work and there is a lot that goes into it that people don't, I don't think, realize. So I think just education and getting people the knowledge and kind of the backing of what goes on. I think as we educate more people into what's going on, more people will understand and, you know, hopefully join the conversation, get their input in there and, you know, help us create the best environment that we can.
How are you educating people? You keep saying educating and educating, but I mean, is this something that me as a, let's say I'm not in the supporter group, right? And I'm not an ACB leadership. Let's say I'm like my buddy Chris Seller, right? He doesn't sit with any supporters. He's, I don't know exactly where he sits, but if he wants to become educated, he wants to learn more, or he wants to understand why things are happening in the back end, rather than seeing everyone go off on Twitter and people making their assumptions and all these things, how would I become educated?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. You know, we have done a few of those town halls over the last couple of years. Granted, the direction of them, and you know, at the time was team performance, and you know, our leadership, Klein, Ziggy, some of the people who sat on those panels, a lot of their questions were directed, you know, towards team performance. So hopefully with the changes that we've been making over the offseason, we'll have less team performance questions and more questions about the future of the club and the future of the stadium. You know, something that we're looking to start up hopefully this year in the next couple months is going to be some sort of a fan council that will allow fans to, you know, voice their input on different things. You know, if we do play a U.S. Open Cup game, where would you like that game held? Allow fans to give their input on different things, you know, that we can take and, you know, actually make actionable steps in terms of, you know, giving the fans the experience that they want at different matches.
This supporters council thing that you mentioned, this is separate than supporter groups?
Yeah, this would be separate from supporter groups. This would be, you know, something for all season ticket members and fans. So it would kind of be an opt-in process. Obviously, we're still working through the logistics of everything, but I think it's something that we need. It's something that will allow us to, you know, from my perspective, we, you know, Angel and I and, you know, people, members of other members of leadership and Lars leadership, we're communicating daily, sometimes too much. It's hard to keep up with. But, you know, we want to like hear today? From people. Yeah, we want to hear from people who sit, you know, in section 114. We want to hear from people who sit in 135. You know, we hear your guys' opinions. So this will give us an opportunity to hear from people who sit in different area of the stadium who might see things a little bit differently.
So like a neighborhood watch type of thing, except for the stadium. Like that are not.
Yeah, supportive. I mean, I think the idea would be to get, you know, supporters and non-supporters on this, so that way, you know, we get a number of different inputs and voices in the conversation, because the more voices, you know, ultimately the better decisions that we can make, and you know, the more people who have that say, you know, helps them feel like they're a part of the club.
So George, do you mind if I ask him a question right now that was asked here on our thread, just because it's kind of it kind of leads to what he just said. Essentially, I can allude from that. Based on what you said, essentially you're talking about starting like a committee, right? But that it's just a generic Galaxy fans in general. This is not specific to support groups, just fans in general. If you want to be part of this committee and, you know, essentially work more directly with the front office and ask them questions, you know, not just specific to supporter groups. You can come, you can join one, blah, blah, blah. Cool. We have this meeting. We're sitting in this meeting. First question someone's going to ask you, where are you sitting away the away supporters?
First question is, where are we sitting the away supporters? Did I hear that correctly?
Yep. I can already hear that. That'd be one of the first questions. Where are you going to sit the away supporters for the 2019 season?
Yeah, so we are moving the away supporters for the San Jose match and the LAFC match. We are moving them to sections 226 and 227. All remaining supporter groups, Seattle, Portland, anybody else will stay in section 116.
Okay. So essentially just for the game against San Jose, the game against LAFC, just two games out of the entire year, they're going to be sitting, the away section is going to be in the 200s. When you say the 200s, whereabouts exactly? Are we talking about 200s all the way to the far right from
you
where we are?
Oh, already.
227? Okay, I missed that part.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, that's easy for me to say because I stare at the maps all day, but that's essentially closer on the Galaxian side and not the right squad side.
Gotcha.
So that would be okay. The northeast corner. And this is a hot topic too. I mean, obviously I'm on social media and I, in my free time, like to go read what people are saying. So I would love to, for, you know,
and, yeah, to add to that, sometimes I get messages from Alter. Hey, did you see that on Reddit? Did you see that on Reddit? Oh, go see that on Reddit. And he gets mad. And then sometimes when he sees that someone says something positive about him, like, oh, look, someone says something positive about their front office. So
how often is that?
I look at Reddit. Well, probably too much. If my boss is listening to this, I probably look at Reddit too much. But, you know, that's where we learn some of this stuff. But, you know, when it comes to the away supporters and where we sit them, it's a double-sided sword. I mean, our stadium's incredible to the point where there's not a bad seat in the house. And having the unique, I wouldn't even call it a challenge, the unique opportunity with both supporter groups sitting on different ends of the stadium, there's not necessarily a good place to put them. So I've heard put them up on the berm. You know, that seems to be kind of the most popular location of where people want them. My issue with that, and, you know, I think Scott Banks and our security team has done an incredible job over the last year with both LAFC matches at home. My issue with putting them up on the berm is it overlooks your guys' tailgating area, and we have them get in 2 hours prior, and I couldn't think of a worse idea than having 300 drunk LAFC fans on top of your tailgating area. I don't think that would end well for anybody. So we made the decision to put them in 226 and 227. So that's where they will be for the 2019 season.
So question. If it's obviously a security issue, right? That's what it sounds like. The security has a lot to do with this as to why a specific group is placed where they are. Why did you guys just decide on doing two games out of the entire season where, again, San Jose and LAFC, where the away section is going to be in the 200s and the rest of the other teams is going to be in the same area, in the same neighborhood, in the 116 where they usually are?
Yeah, I mean, I've been working with you guys since 2016, closer with 2017 and last season, but the two matches that we always seem to have issues with are obviously San Jose. Something seems to pop off every year there. And then obviously LAFC.
never.
I think obviously the LAFC games goes without saying, but this provides us an opportunity for them to kind of not have that mob mentality, you know, in general admission where they can just purchase there and all sit together. So this kind of eliminates that and it allows us to isolate their fans. I'm sure you guys were all either in the tailgating area or still in section 121 after the last game of the season where the sections in between y'all cleared out. And I think there were a few beer cans flying back and forth. So this will hopefully eliminate that as well.
Can't confirm nor deny.
No, I can confirm.
I was not there.
I was dodging beer cans left and right, so I can definitely confirm that one.
Have you added that to your LinkedIn?
Yeah, it's on my resume.
There you go. Okay.
Professional evader of alcoholic beverages.
Nice.
No, I don't evade alcoholic beverages.
So, Angel, I think adding to that, now that we're on the topic of away supporters coming into our home, there was a question in regards to our away tickets allocation and everything that we're going to get when we do go to Chivas USA. People were asking if the FO already knows how many tickets have been allocated to them and from us, to them and for them.
Yeah, we can back up one step here. I think one of the coolest parts about the Galaxy and what we're doing and kind of the direction we're taking with our supporters and our season ticket members is the away travel program. Something I've been working on for the last couple of years that I think it's come a really long way with the Alaska flight discounts, the tickets, the events, everything. I know a lot of people had the opportunity to meet some players at the hotel send-offs. You know, we've gotten feedback that it's good for season ticket members who sit in 135 to meet season ticket members in the 200s to meet you guys. So I think one of my favorite parts about what I do is getting to travel on the road and kind of help have people meet other season ticket members and have that experience, because I think there is something about traveling to an away game, the camaraderie behind it, not only at the game, but kind of hanging out before, having a beer before you go to the game is pretty cool. So the away travel program has been pretty awesome, and we should have the links available for the Alaska flight discounts hopefully within the next week. So as of today, there's
taking it long enough.
I know it's out of our control, but out of right now at as we speak, Dallas has 102 people going. So that one's the first game of the season, first away game of the season on March 9th. So
that one will be fun. Hopefully we can take you guys to see the National Soccer Hall of Fame, which obviously the Galaxy have a huge part of. So looking forward to that one. But back to the question in regards to LAFC.
No, hold on. Adding to that, for someone that's been a part of that program and traveling to go see the Galaxy, Angel and I went to New York last year, and kind of, I think that was the first time that I've ever experienced it as far as traveling far and seeing what the Galaxy provided. It was, I mean, they didn't have to do it. We were there obviously to see the team. We would do it without all the perks and all that, but they bought out the bar for how long was it? It was 2 hours.
It was supposed to be an hour, and then it was supposed to,
listen, I don't want to go, I don't want to say all that. It was supposed to be an hour, but the Galaxy were very nice to extend that hour for a lot of us that were there. And it's just the perks that we get, I personally would do without them, but the fact that we have them is like, it's definitely an added bonus. We get percentages off, even if it's 5%, 10%. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't, but the fact that it's there, I think really helps out and really shows that you guys are pushing for a big number for the away travels. I think ACB and the supporters do a great job of pushing those, but I think the fact that you guys are helping the topic and conversation with, hey, if you guys go, you guys are going to get rounds on us, you guys are going to do this, or this is going to happen, I think that really helps out. So the fact that you guys are working together also, in regards to that, and free tickets, if you're if you're a season ticket member and you're traveling to Dallas or any away trips, there's a link, I believe it's lagalaxy.com/LAX, where you could go ahead and send Malter an email saying, hey, I'm traveling to Dallas ahead of time. If you're a season ticket member, those tickets are free of charge, and I believe it's not, it's $20. And shit, imagine if you go to Atlanta or things like that where tickets are $80 easily. I think the Galaxy keep that price.
This is going. Not included LAFC, by the way. Just before people are like, oh shit, that's why I got to do the tickets. Like, no, back the fuck up.
But it's just the perks that you get with traveling with the best club in MLS, I think are really dope. But back to the question, you're not going to invade it.
Yeah, back to the question. So at the end of last year, we took a look and sat down with the LAFC supporter relations group and their FO as well. It was a little bit of a disaster, and I don't know that they planned accordingly, but they said that next year we will have the entire Section 217, which is right around 300 seats, which is similar to what we give every other away team. So it's business as usual on our end. We are yet to get a confirmation this year, but I would assume that we would get the entire Section 217, which is about double the tickets that we had last year.
So how would, I know it's early, but I'm sure people are going to be wondering, how would they get access to those tickets? Because that's very few tickets that we're talking about for thousands of Galaxy fans in LA. Look, realistically, right, most of you guys, most of us in general, most of us are not going to even get access to the tickets, right? I get that 100%. Right. So one, have you guys even discussed that at all to any degree, or just waiting to see what's going to happen with how many tickets you're going to get and if they're going to give you an additional section? Or is it really like, hey, we really don't know what's going to happen yet. Honestly, realistically, we haven't gotten anywhere with it, which is fine if that's the case. I get it.
Yeah. But I mean, I can tell you what we did. Tell you what we did last year. So what we did last year is obviously we were extremely limited on the number of tickets that we got. We only got 132. So what we did is we took the number of season ticket members in ACB, the number of season tickets in Lars, and the number of season tickets in the Galaxians. We took that number and we divided it by the total number of season tickets, which gives you a percent. So say Lars had 42% of season ticket member base for supporters, ACB had X amount, and basically what we did is we divided that up equally based on the percentage of season ticket members that each group made up. So that was the kind of the fair way that we decided last year to be. Again, in the in terms of transparency, we have not discussed that this year. We have a couple months prior to that game. Obviously, it's going to be here before you know it. So hoping to have something finalized here in the month of March.
So would you, I mean, obviously you can't say this, right? But would you encourage, or not encourage, but would you suggest people buy their tickets in some third-party site now if they're available and if they're able to do so?
The only way to guarantee yourself a ticket to that game is by purchasing a ticket to that game. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, perfect. Say no more. People,
For those of you that don't know, that team's tickets are going on sale for that game on Thursday. So keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
On their website, not through the LA Galaxy. Just a heads up.
Cool. Anything else you want to ask, George?
Yeah, I have a couple more questions here. Where
the fuck did it go? Is Massa still down there?
Yeah, yeah. So Massa, if you don't know, you're not a first-time listener. Massa comes when we talk about soccer. Right now, this is out of his realm. He really doesn't.
Is he the man with the facts?
He doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
This is a good question because you were talking about marketing, a little helping out CT with that. Perhaps silly. This comes from Power Surge 121. Perhaps a silly question, but any thought giving it to tapping to the iEat market with billboard signage as well?
Yeah, it's something that we definitely take a look at, and I don't know that we'd have any issue sharing this, but it says poor connection. But we do have a map of all the outdoor signage that we have in terms of billboards. I think this year we've done a better job of spreading them out throughout the greater Los Angeles area. And so, yeah, I mean, it is something that I think, you know, Angel and then Carlos from Lars have done a good job of with the watch parties and you know, making Springbok, which is, I believe is in the IE, making that kind of a Galaxy bar. And, you know, this is kind of where we need your guys' help. So if you guys have a neighborhood bar, if you have a bar that you want to have Galaxy branding in it, let us know. I mean, we can provide you flags, coasters. But in terms of spreading our marketing throughout all of Southern California, we've done a better job this year of kind of spreading out our billboards. I know that a lot of them have been picked up on social. Seems like, you know, people, Angel, you've sent us one. I know a bunch of people have just posted on social the billboards in their neighborhood. So I think they're popping up, you know, and starting to get put up in different areas. So it's definitely something that we're taking a look at and something that we've done a better job, in my opinion, this year than we have in years past. So I want you to feel love all the way in the IE, because there are a lot of people who do make that drive, you know, every other Saturday to come down to Dignity Health Sports Park and you know, support the team in the stadium. So if they can drive 2 hours or more to make it to the stadium, you know, the least we could do is throw up a billboard in their neighborhood.
Well, are you guys going to throw one in the neighborhood? Because it doesn't sound like there is any.
Sounds like what?
Well, based on the question, there are no billboards up there right now.
Well, I'm going to take a look at the outdoor advertising map that we have tomorrow, and I can let you know where they are in the IE. All
right. And are we allowed to share that? Hey, it's at this spot, it's at this spot, it's at this spot?
I don't see why not.
All right. And just to confirm, you are not mistaken the IE with San Fernando Valley or Orange County. Because I get it that you're not from out here. You know, you're from, you're like from Kentucky or some shit like that, right?
Hey, they're all flyover states to you guys. So,
yeah, they are flyover states. No, where are you from again? I'm from
Missouri. Right? Yeah.
Same shit. Kentucky, Missouri. It's all the same.
I'm probably the only person you know from Missouri. I'd be surprised if you knew another one.
That's kind of accurate, I think.
I think that might be accurate. Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. So where were you, George? I know you had a few more questions in there.
Oh, shit. I think that was it. I honestly think that that's what we got from the Straight from the Fans.
No, there's a lot.
Really?
Yeah. There's quite a few. Okay, so I'll go down. I'll go through them.
That was easy.
Oh, no.
Never mind.
I'm asking my question at the end.
Okay.
That's when my mic's going to die.
Okay, no. So there's a few questions here, and then let me ask this one, because this is another easy one. I don't even know if you're gonna have the answer to this one. Any new food stands coming to the Diggity? And then a lot of people just followed up to that, saying that's very important, because some people are asking for chocolate dipped vanilla ice cream, for chocolate ice cream, for funnel cakes, for better Mexican food, a few different things of that nature. Are you even involved in that? Is there anything that you guys? I mean, who knows the food stuff?
No, I'm not directly involved, but I do know that we are redoing most of the concessions on the east side. I know one of the highlights of my game day is almost every single game day I pass Angel and the kids walking on the concourse. He has a beer and the kids have a pizza. Uh-huh. So that's it seems like a tradition for those guys. But yeah, we are going to be redoing some concession stands on the east side. If you guys haven't been over, there's like a healthy food stand kind of near Soccer Fest. I think they changed the name recently. But yeah, we are redoing some of the concession stands. And I think over, at least since I've started, they've gotten significantly better. And there are a lot of options. I mean, right before, I think it's the second preseason game, they let the staff go through and we take like a tour and taste all the different foods in the concession stand. And
oh, can know, I some, come?
Hell yeah, yeah. We're part of staff.
We're technically
staff now by association. By association.
Yeah, now George is going to want a press credential for the food tasting.
Because we did bring up the food, though. I mean, I don't know who are the people that run all the food decisions and the decision makers of the food.
I'm sure it's vendors, right?
I can tell you that it has gotten so much better over the last. When we joined ACB back in 2011, it was shit. It was garbage. And I've been going to the stadium as far back as I can remember, even before.
Honestly, the best part for me was the craft beer. The fact that you guys added that craft beer, I forgot when you guys added that. Yeah, that shit was amazing.
Well, craft beer, different foods. You know, there's even a like this fucking bomb ass wing spot in there that's fucking fire.
The barbecue in the back?
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So, I mean, look, man, when it comes to that, there's definitely been improvements in terms of selection for food.
Beer. My thing is, for those of you that want that food, I think it's best to not, if you're an ACB, don't go and try to get that food when San Jose or LAFC is in town, just because it's a little hard to get through with security. So try them out on games like Colorado. You don't miss anything when Colorado's in town.
Yeah, true. Okay, another question.
I have a question. Hold on. Oh. I found them. Going back. This is my show. I'm the captain.
Oh, I'm the captain, man. Look at me.
This comes from Brian. Brian Zuniga, Rattail, a.k.a. is there a possibility of streaming preseason games for free in the future? Done it in the past. So what's up, little busters? I think he's talking about you, Malter.
Yeah, so
he won't dare say that to little. Me.
He has some nerves to say little.
The game tomorrow, I don't know when this comes out, but today's Monday, tomorrow's Tuesday. So the game on Tuesday against Vissel Kobe, I believe is how you pronounce it, will not be streamed. But as far as I know, the match on Saturday will be streamed. I'm about 99% sure that that will be available on some sort of platform. The 23rd, I'm not sure
Spectrum
about.
Spectrum Sportsnet.
The one down in Orange County at OC Great Park, their facility is not equipped for streaming. So that one will not be streamed, but the two at Dignity Health will be available on some platform.
There you go.
They already dropped the info on that. They're going to pass it on Sport Access.
Boom, the man with the facts.
I told
the
you.
The man with the facts. I told you. He comes with nothing but hot fire. Except for that one time when he gave everybody false and fake facts and we got called out for it. But, you know, I can't confirm or deny that happened.
Don't talk about called out for things because the perfect person's here. All right. Dark Bleep Jesse from Twitter would like to know, will the Galaxy be giving any gifts for season ticket members?
Dark ass asking, Jesse.
Or is he asking for too much?
Any gifts for season ticket members, like the one, like the hats this year?
Yeah, for the gifts. Gifts like hats.
Yeah, so I mean, in years past, I know this has always kind of been a hot topic again on social media. The sweaters last year, I still have one that you know I wear when it rains, and it's been raining a lot recently. So that was one last year. This year, they're actually pretty cool. I have one in my car. It's a Mitchell and S hat. There were a couple different styles that you can choose from, and those will be available to pick up starting at the first preseason game. So that will be the gift for this year. Again, I think this is something we spoke a little bit about the fan council and kind of what that would look like and some of the questions that would entail. And I think this is a good opportunity to pose a question like that is, you know, what would you guys like to see as a season ticket member gift? Because keep in mind, we do have about 8,000 season ticket members. So what might be appealing to, you know, Angel might not be appealing to a family of four who sits in section 130.
That is
Angel's a family of four, but he just sits in ACB.
Stan, that's bitch.
You sit. Hey, quick question. Malter, how would one go about picking up their hat on Saturday?
Yeah, that's going to be at the item pickup booth. I believe, at least last year, it was located over by Soccer Fest. If you guys look, it's actually across from ACB, kind of closer behind Riot Squad. There will be a big sign that says item pickup, and I'm guessing that there's going to be a long line of season ticket members trying to pick up their hats. If you look in the air over Soccer Fest, at least last year, there was a giant balloon, and that balloon would lead you over towards the item pickup booth. So just look up if you're looking for the item pickup booth. Or, you know, stop a member of the FO and they'll walk you over there.
Can I ask you a question? You know, because based on Dark Ass Jesse's question, you know, he's asking for gifts is too much. obviously you mentioned the hats. From what we saw, the hats, they look like pretty dope ass hats compared to the trash ass hats you guys were getting out before. Yeah, I mean, that's accurate. What other incentives does a season ticket member have? I guess he consider gives. We already mentioned one, right? If you like to do away travel like we do, you're spending money alone just on away tickets, right? Again, with the exception of the LAFC game. But what are the perks? Why should I even get season tickets?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, and a question that, you know, our sales reps are asked pretty frequently. You know, I think it kind of depends on what you're looking for. You know, a family might want something different than a college student. So, for instance, one of the perks and you know, kind of what I tell people in ACB or looking, you know, who are looking to get season tickets in our supporter section, obviously the away travel is huge. You get 20% off the team store, so we will be releasing a new jersey here within the next 2 weeks or so. You would get 20% off of that. You get a discount on any additional tickets that you purchase as well. So instead of paying about $28, you're only going to be paying about $23. And that adds up pretty quickly, you know, friends, family, anything like that. And then one thing that people don't realize often is that, you know, if you can't make it to a match, if you just give us a call ahead of time, I believe it's the Wednesday before a Saturday game, and so let us know you can't make that match, we can actually take those tickets and apply them to a different game. So it's not like you got to come to every game, and, you know, it is very easy in the tailgates. It seems like everyone's always looking for a ticket. So, you know, if you can't make it to the match or have an extra ticket, you can always get rid of them in the tailgate. So, long story short, it just kind of depends on what you're looking for, but you know, you can always find a benefit that would suit you.
Yo, and if you like beer, get the season ticket member just to go to Oktoberfest. That shit hands down was the best event I've ever been to.
You know, and I think it may have been George that just posted it right now. What was it? Was it you? What would you guys like to see from the FO?
Yeah, bitch, on social media.
All right, then hurry up, because I got these alerts before you, so let Malter know what people are asking for them.
Oh, hey, Malter, people want an espresso maker.
I want an espresso maker.
No, right, well, see, that's why I know George's not paying attention. Someone said, you know, like a box of goodies, whatever the goodies are, I don't know, but that sounds like a good idea. You know, like
those boxes,
like a surprise box.
Those are really impressive. The boxes every year seem to surprise me. I've actually got one sitting over here. They are pretty awesome boxes. And for everyone that has a season ticket booklet, those should be hitting homes within the next couple days. So keep an eye out for those. It's Monday today. I would imagine that everyone should have them closer to Thursday.
I can't confirm or deny, but between the 5th and the 6th is when I heard through the grapevine that they should be arriving.
I can't confirm or deny. I came home to a FedEx tag and I thought it was that, and I forgot I ordered some shit off of Amazon. So I went to FedEx thinking I had my season tickets.
The heartbreak. All right.
Yeah, it was the worst. All right. So another question, which I think kind of stems from GBS coming to town. Everyone saw a little glimpse of him prior to becoming the Galaxy head coach from the Boca Juniors Confidential. Obviously, we know you might not have an exact answer or even an answer, but they want to know, when will the Galaxy get their own documentary on Netflix or Amazon? Is this something that you've heard through the grapevine, something that's been discussed, brainstorming?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing I've heard of. I think, you know, when you talk about specifically our department and kind of what we do, it's obviously a little bit outside of our realm, but, you know, with fan engagement, I think, you know, with all the documentaries that are out there now, I think one way to engage our fans, especially during the off season, would be to do something like that, which I think are awesome. I think the Man City one was awesome on Amazon. You've also got, obviously, the Boca one, the Sunderland one. So there are some pretty cool ones out there. When I first started back in 2015, they were still doing Backstage Galaxy. And for me, not being too familiar with the Galaxy at the time, I would always try to tune into those, because kind of gives you a glimpse into the world at what goes on downstairs during the day on a week-to-week basis. So that's something personally I would like to see come back. And I know we've got a pretty awesome video team that puts out some pretty cool videos. So I think it's definitely something that we should look into, but nothing I've heard of that's in the works at this point.
Are you able to give suggestions on stuff like that?
Hey, Chris Thomas, we should do another Backstage Galaxy. That was my
suggestion right there.
No, well, I mean, the Galaxy History guy, he asked essentially, you know, is there anything, can the club make an updated history documentary? You know, essentially, I mean, I don't know what this would look like. I'm guessing maybe a video. I mean, there's enough content now. We're talking about over 20 years of, you know, LA Galaxy history that we can talk about. I mean, sure, by no means is this, you know, any of the clubs from other parts of the world that are over 100 years old. I get that, but I don't think we have anything right now that, you know, shows the last 20 years or, you know, 20 plus years that the Galaxy have been around.
Yeah, we're coming up on our 25th anniversary, I believe. So hopefully, you know, at that point, a lot of cool stuff will be coming out in terms of history. I think something that would be pretty cool is if we had some, not a museum per se, but maybe some, you know, like a hallway that kind of has the different jerseys, has some history on it. You know, I think we have that, the Wall of Legends or whatever it is, kind of on the opposite corner of Riot Squad, that has Doug Hamilton and some of the championship teams. But one thing I think that could be improved in our stadium is showing our history and showing, you know, the different kits, the different trophies, all of that we won, because, you know, we do have that trophy case downstairs that the players walk by that you probably see on Galaxy TV. But I think, you know, we could do a better job of displaying our history somewhere in the stadium. And I think we'll have the opportunity to do that with the 25th anniversary coming up.
Yeah, go let them know. That's definitely be tight. Also, he also asked, any way that you can sneak any old match programs? Are those even around? Can you find those?
The old match programs, I'm not sure. I know if, you know, if I was going to point you anywhere, I'd point you to Linda Pickle for an old match thing. But one thing that I thought was pretty cool that I hope we bring back, and you know, obviously this is nothing that I know in the works, but the old match posters that we did, I think 2015 or 16, those were pretty sweet. You know, each match that we had, a different match poster kind of came out that was themed towards the team we were playing. I think when it was the David Villa NYCFC versus Galaxy game, and they kind of made like that old match poster, I thought that was pretty cool. I think it's something we went through an external company to do, but something that we should bring back, because I think those played pretty well with the fans.
Cool. Someone said that a gift would be, just instead of using all that money to send people gifts and stuff, just use it to buy out Gio's contract.
Yo, I know you're not in it, but what would you like to see with that? What would you like to see happen in that sense?
Do you want to see the man
come back? Yeah.
I think he's...
This is from a fan. From a fan's perspective. No, you're a fan.
Hold on. He's a Kansas City Wizards fan. Chill. He's not going to know.
I think, you know, with that particular topic, it's always tough, because now that you've got Dennis in the front office, I think, you know, you never know what a GM or what a coach can get out of a player. So with that being said, I think if you have the opportunity to keep him not on a designated player contract, I think that's a hard option to pick, or a hard, you know, hard option not to go, because I think having... Obviously, the three DPs that we had, and still being able to keep Gio, whether he comes off the bench as a super sub or whether he starts some games here or there, I think that's an option that's hard to turn down. You know, we have seen some glimpses. One of my favorite Gio moments, and, you know, it's hard to find a good one, but he had a left-footed smash on the volley that was, like, directly towards ACB. I was standing right up top of ACB, and it was just an absolute screamer.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you can keep him as a TAM player, why not? If he has to have a DP contract, I would say buy him out. Again, this is my opinion and does not reflect the views of my employer.
Well, so let me ask you a question that your employer can answer. You right now. As a representative of your employer, when are you guys letting go of Gio?
There it is. This is what we wanted. This is what we came for.
When are you guys letting go of Gio? People want to know. Someone specifically asked at Meg_Mega, why is no one asking for when will we let go of Gio?
Let me answer this for him.
That is all over Twitter. Everyone is asking when we're letting go of Gio. I don't have an answer for that.
He can't, what or what?
No confirmo, no denial.
No confirmation or denialation.
All right, here's a question that has been brought up since last week's episode. I told you I was going to ask. It's a simple question. I obviously want to, you know, take into consideration your time. You've been here a long time. We want to let you go. Last week, our episode consisted of supporter groups standing next to each other. A supporter group came out and said, no, we don't want to. We feel ambushed. Everyone's heard the podcast. It was hands down one of the biggest podcasts we've ever had. A lot of what they had to say was, this is our culture, this is what we want, but we just don't like the fact that we didn't know anything about this meeting prior to going into this meeting. You and I haven't talked about this. I want to know, it's a yes or no question. Did people know about the meeting before going into this meeting? I don't want to get into any further. It's just a yes or no question.
That's such a loaded question. That's not an answer. You can't answer that yes or no. But This whole thing happened so fast that it took us off guard. It's something that I feel strongly about. I think it's obviously double-sided. I think, would it help our supporter culture? Would it help our stadium atmosphere? Yes and no. I think you have to respect the history that goes into 137, 138. You know, when they started as a supporter group, I was still in middle school. So it's something that you can't overlook, and something, the history and passion that Riot Squad has. And I think they bring a unique element to the game, and I love those guys. So it's hard to it's a tough situation to be in when you're approached with a task like that, and it's something that was tough, and you got to respect the decision that they made.
You famous person went around my question, and I respect that.
Hey, you know, I'll talk around that question all day, but.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Do you guys get trained by Chris Klein and co on how to evade questions? You know,
that was perfect.
You
know,
just had to evade a question and make it seem like you answered, but you never really did.
Hey, do you want me to evade that question? Do you know Chris Klein is also from Missouri? So you do know two people from Missouri.
Oh, there you go. See, I do know someone else from Missouri. You're a fucking liar.
Wait, and then I just danced around your question about dancing around questions.
Wait, what was the question?
Touché.
Yo, I don't know if we have anything else for Malter. Do we have anything else?
It's raining and I don't want to walk my dog, so you got to keep firing away.
Well, I want to ask you.
We're going to talk about training. I don't know if you want to get into the topic as well. I think we got what we want.
I do want to ask you a question, though. Who's your favorite, Lars, ACB, or Galaxians?
He's going to dance around that shit, too.
He's going to dance around that shit, too.
All jokes aside, I think, you know, as I've gotten to work with you guys more and know each group more, it's incredible that, you know, the different energy, the different style of support, you know, you people talk about, oh, you know, each group supports differently, but all you have to do is take a lap around the stadium, go stand above ACB for 5 minutes, go stand closer to the Galaxians for 5 minutes, and go stand, you know, closer to Lars for 5 minutes. And, you know, if you're a true soccer fan and love coming to Galaxy games, and, you know, I think each group has a different vibe that you can find enjoyment in. So I think it's cool in the history and kind of the backing that each group has, and the fact that you guys are able to work together, and all the work that's been put in on your guys' end, you know, the front office doesn't have anything to do with that. That's, you know, Angel talking to Carlos. That's Carlos talking to Karina and Carlisa and Linda and all these people, and all the hard work that goes into it on your guys' end. Don't get us wrong. I mean, we know that this isn't a job for you guys. This is volunteer. You guys have 9-to-5s, and then you guys come and do this stuff. So that doesn't go unlooked, and I think that the effort that you guys put in definitely doesn't go unnoticed.
I do want to ask one more question before George gets into the soccer stuff, if you want to join us for that. Someone did ask, you know, now I want to ask other questions. I know why he still has a job, but why does Chris Klein still have a job?
Because Malter gave it to him.
I could answer that for Malter.
You can answer that for me?
Yeah, because people from Missouri know how to talk their way into good positions.
So. Did you hear the way that Malter just talked to us about that question? Mm-hmm. He sold me.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's what I learned today. No, people from Missouri know how to talk their way into shit.
I will answer that question for people, why he has a job. And I think we brought it up a couple episodes back, and I'm not going to let Malter answer it. This time around, I think he did what he had to do to please the fans.
I think I replied on our Twitter feed in regards to that question.
Okay, yeah. Just want to point it out so people don't think that we didn't ask all the questions. But, I mean, honestly, right now, this time around, I think he did everything he had to do. He won and he got GBS. I'm not going to confirm nor deny that I asked him about the GBS before, but, you know.
It was because of you.
It happens. You know, I'm not going to say it was because of me, but George said it.
I'll say it was because of you.
So you want to do your thing, George? See if Malter wants to hang around for the soccer stuff?
Malter, do you want to hang around for the soccer stuff, or do you want to go walk your beautiful dog?
No, dog, it's raining outside. I don't want to go outside.
Oh, Angel, I was going to say, I'll answer the question about who's his favorite. He sponsors an ACB podcast. He's been on an ACB podcast. Who do you think his favorites are?
Listen, Antonio is not letting me. Well, he's not allowing.
No. Angel.
He's censoring it.
Angel, don't let him censor you. What did we talk about? What did we talk about?
I'm sorry, but I can't. Antonio, you know how he gets.
We are right? The official ACB podcast, unofficial podcast.
Not according to Antonio.
We're.
Hey, but if I can't just go on one. So I mean, I know I've talked to Chris Tucker over at the Squadcast. I haven't really talked to the News Across the Galaxy guys, but hey, we can share the love.
Yeah, damn, no, that's fucked sure. up. How are you not going to mention LA is our house? Wow.
I don't think I know those guys personally. Maybe I've met them once or twice, but I don't know that I know they were at training today.
Hey, but if it was Corner of the Galaxy, you'd be all over that.
Hey, look at that segue. I got this podcast thing down.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Hey, yeah, you're welcome. And let's get into the soccer stuff. Let's talk soccer. First of all, good luck, Meltzer.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Right,
let's get into soccer. So today, another perk for being a season ticket member, you get to go into see the Galaxy practice. Today, even though it was raining, lots of season ticket members stood under the rain and watched the team practice. Masa, the man with the facts, was actually there. Masa, I want to hear your input, because I know you and I had a pretty good dialogue on the sideline in regards to what we saw, things that we wanted to see, things we didn't see. But what were your initial thoughts on this training?
I actually enjoyed it a lot. A lot of changes compared to how we played last season or previous seasons, actually. I don't know, and it's a lot of intensity, a lot of hard work, like non-stop working.
From the back.
From the back line?
No, from like just seeing the training, the first drill that we saw. What's something that stood up that we didn't see last year?
Oh, bro, immediate high press, and then you could see when when the players that were attacking lost the ball, and they didn't react quick to recovering the ball, the coaches were on them, like, yo, ball's in play, go press high, go get that ball back. And that's something that, you know, there was a couple times where Zlatan was pressing really high, and he was sliding, trying to recover the ball as quick as possible, and that's not something we saw during the games last season. We always criticized Zlatan for just walking around, but we didn't really give him too much shit because it's Zlatan, but today at practice, he was trying to recover the ball. He was trying to slide to intercept the pass when the opposing team was trying to play out the back. So that was nice to see.
It's definitely a different feeling from watching the Galaxy. I would say, Angel, to bring you into this, the practice did throw a little vibe for when we went to go see when we had the open practice, when Dom was the lead voice. I think when it came to the drills and how everything was managed, he was the lead voice telling players what to do. But I think that the difference and what I'd like to see is GBS stepped in when he didn't see what he wanted to see. There was a point where he called out a player and said, hey, this is what we need to see. You're not doing this right now. And it was kind of one of those, if you guys saw the Boca Juniors Confidential, it was a little bit of that. It was a little awkward just because people were there, but at the same time, that's what we want to see. I think that's what I think the challenge that he puts on these players really helps out, and I think that's what's making these type of drills, the intensity that's growing in this team, I think comes from Dom, one, being that connecting factor to what happened last season, but now GBS brings an accountability to the players that I don't think they had in the past. They're accountable to themselves, and they're accountable to the club.
He called them out. He was like, he's like, you're asking this player to press, and you're not pressing where you're supposed to press. You need to press. Bam. And that was it. Simple as that. And then went back to work. It was beautiful.
He's there. I think that lead voice that the players needed has always been there, and they respect them. Meltzer, I think you could maybe touch on this a little bit. What's the feeling like as far as you see players, you interact with players, I'm sure, on a daily basis or whenever you can? Like, what's just the sense that you get from walking into the Galaxy from years past, not even the last coach, but the last couple of years since Bruce left? What's been a change in the air that you've seen, if any?
There is a immense level of excitement. This is personally the season I've been most excited for since I've been here. I think the changes that have been going on, you know, we've had American coaches in the past, and now we have the opportunity to bring in a foreign coach with his coaching staff. And then, like you mentioned, Dom being the kind of the connecting factor between the old and the new. And I think this preseason, the double days that they've been doing for the last 2 weeks, sounds like it's killed them, but you know, that's what we need. We don't want to be walking around. We don't need that. We obviously these guys don't enjoy, you know, getting their asses kicked like they have the last couple seasons. So I think that, you know, the level of excitement and then just, you know, that need to do better than we've done in the past seasons is really what has been driving the guys.
Yeah. I completely agree in regards to just the sense of the air is a little different. I've talked to players. I've just seen it. It's a good feeling. Hopefully the accountability and the pressure that's being put on these players is what they needed to wake them up. But as far as the drills that I saw from what I think moving forward, the Galaxy is going to be a very compressed team. They're going to be very compressed. The touching has been way better. A lot of end zone plays. By end zone, I mean certain players. If you played soccer, there's certain lines that you can't cross without touching the ball. Certain players can't cross into another line. I think just learning positioning and kind of sticking to where you need to be is really helping the flow and dynamic of play just happening between every player. And I think the touches are there. Something that stood out to me: Efran Alvarez is a baller. That kid is a baller.
He was hitting screamers from like 25 away
in a while from someone. This kid can move the ball. He connects well with the veterans. That's what I'd like to see. The fact that him and Jonah were on separate teams playing in the same position, so they contested each other a lot. And just seeing those two going at it and seeing that competitiveness come from a 16-year-old to a quote, so to someone that's very molded already as a player like Jonah, I think seeing that competitiveness really helps that kid out. And to me, I think that's someone we really, really need a lock to. I know that us talking about the academies and growing players is the movement that we're going, but I think this kid's the future, as well as the 18-year-old that we just signed, the Mexican winger. What's his name?
I don't know how to pronounce it. Antuna.
Antuna.
He is fast.
If speed is what we want, if for those that haven't seen him play, his speed and footwork on the ball and off the ball is crazy. I think he's an Emma with a lot better control of the ball and touching. So I think we have a good set foundation of youth that could help, that could be a good mix with veterans and just everything that's happening in the Galaxy's locker room and training, whatever it is showing out on that field. And I hope to see that when preseason comes.
Yep. Another thing that stood out for me too was the way they insisted that our players play, our goalies play from the back. Like, no, they weren't really trying to play long ball. Everything was short. Keep it short. Play out from the back. That was another thing that I really liked, even though I still think they need to work on that a little more, but that was nice seeing something different for sure. And it looks like this year, from what I got to see, was we're going to be a really compact team, at least in the middle. And we're going to be playing wide. That's going to be beautiful. We have the right players to go wide.
I think what I want to ask you is, what positions do you see up for grabs in the Galaxy right now? I think for the most part, we saw a set roster as far as Jonah in the middle with Legit. What some players or some positions that could go either way?
I don't know, man. Today, the midfield doesn't look set to me. No. I mean, I think Jonah and Legit have that chemistry coming from the back end of last year, but I would say Juninho's work rate today really impressed me. He was not going soft. He was sliding for the ball. He was sliding on his teammates, trying to recover the ball. I think he has a case to start. He hasn't lost his touch passing-wise, or even doesn't hesitate to take shots from outside, which is something we've been lacking the last couple of years. I think Perry Kitchen had a good training session today, too. He looked a lot better than at the end of last season. I don't know. I think even Efra could make a fight for that spot too. I don't know about starting, but I mean, dude, that kid, like, stands out a lot. Yeah. And another person that stood out too was Cuello. He doesn't look bad at all. And it's funny because I mentioned it. He was on the first drill they did. He was on every, like, he hadn't come out for like a breather or anything. And as soon as they said that, they pulled him. Like, yeah, that show was funny.
What's something you didn't see today that you want to see?
That I didn't see today, I think crossing the ball more. Trying to connect a little more with our forwards, I think lacked in the first drill, but then when they had that little scrimmage, it was a completely different story. So I think more work in their crossing. It was a little frustrating watching that.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy to me? I think something that stood out to me that I do want to see comes from the wingers as well, and it's not much their crossing they were getting in. I think the quality of crossing was horrible, but I think more touching on that as far as the wingers, I want to see them cut in and take shots. There's plenty of times where I saw Emma cut in, and you're a lefty. Like, as a lefty, you could swing that ball second post, you get me? Regardless if the shot's there or not, you're a professional player. I think you could at least get it on frame or contest the goalkeeper, but I want to see that a little bit more. Efra, when he was on the wing for a little bit during those drills, he was the one taking those bangers, and that's when I saw his foot. This kid has a foot. So if we could see that, regardless of if the winger has the ball, to pass it back, move it forward, take the defender one-on-one, if all else fails, take shots. I think that's what we lacked as moving forward. I mean, in the past, we lacked that. And I think seeing Juni take one of those first shots from far, we kind of looked at each other and said, that's what we needed. That's what we've been needing. And that's what we, regardless if the shot goes far out, I think just getting some shots in really is going to help out this offense.
Yeah. It was dope, though. Seeing people, there was only two players that really took shots from outside. Well, three, actually. It was Efra, who I'm still in shock, like, how good he was. Like, I've seen him play before, but every time you see this kid play, it's crazy. And I'm pretty sure, I'm 100% sure that all his shots from outside the box were 100% on frame.
Yeah.
It was either a save, or it was a good shot. It was always a save or something. Juninho was taking shots from outside, like I said, and Cuello was taking shots from outside. And those were the three players that were playing in the midfield that would take shots from outside. Everybody else didn't really take shots from outside, or they always played wide. I mean, not that they were making a bad play, but those were the only three players that when they had an opening, they would take a shot.
Yeah, I think seeing a little bit more of that is going to be helpful and beneficial. But I think another player that stood out to me, and his name has been tossed around lately in regards to the DP's status and the title, was Alessandrini. He played, well, he didn't play. The training that he had was really successful. He controlled the ball. He asked for the ball plenty of times. He always wanted the ball at his feet, but not to keep. I think he was holding, creating, which made room. I think with Ola up top, Jonah in the middle, the youngsters running wild, who's one man that we saw that was always open, that you pointed out and said, he's always open. He's always in his little spot.
I forgot.
The Lion.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Like,
this man's by himself.
Always. It's crazy. It's
because of the dynamic that everyone around him, everyone's moving, passing the ball. Defenders are getting lost just by the speed that we have touching the ball and creating, that they forget that there's someone like Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And then every time he would get the ball, he'd either pass a good pass or just one time the shot, and it seemed easy for him.
I think it comes down to coaching too. Like the last drill they were doing, or certain players couldn't leave certain areas, I think that helps too, because I feel like that teaches players to be a little more patient and trust their teammates to make that final pass to them. And I think the way they were moving the ball, and Zlatan was always open because he was always in the position that he needed to be. So I think that's why Zlatan was open most of the time.
Yeah, but I think just to touch on that a little bit more.
Oh, and by the way, whoever wasn't there, Zlatan scoring bangers like left and right still.
Oh, yeah, left and right. So, second post, chipping goalies, outside of the box, banger.
Left-footed shots, right-footed shots. It doesn't matter. They're going in. It's crazy. Yeah,
it was. So he sounds like me.
What do you see coming out of this practice? Like, we've seen the Galaxy. What's the first thing that you're looking for during preseason after seeing this practice?
I'm excited about high press.
Yeah?
That's what I'm most excited about. It's like recover the ball and have possession. That's what I got out of today's drills. If we don't have the ball, we're going to press high and recover it, and then we're going to keep the ball so we can do something with it. That's what I understood from what I saw today.
What was huge that I saw today, maybe it was because of the drill or anything, but there was a three defense back line.
Yeah, I still think that's because of the drill, though. I don't know if we're going to play with three in the back. I don't know how confident I am with three in the back, but I'm confident in the coaching staff, so we'll see.
All right. I don't think we're playing three in the back.
No, I don't believe in that either. Masa, I asked you this off air, but I want your perspective just so Angel could hear to see what we get out of this. But seeing what we saw today, where does Gio fit in this team? Because, failed to mention, Gio was out today. Some sort of leg injury. He stayed inside. He didn't come out.
So
where do you...
Uh-huh. What you said is not accurate, then, about Gio. What you
posted? No. What I posted on Twitter was accurate, but then it led to him and his leg. That's after the fact that I was told that. They told me, but he stayed inside because his leg hurt as well.
Mm-hmm. And then George said that Rolf Fulcher looked really upset when he left. Rolf, I didn't see it. I wasn't paying attention.
The training too, which is also disclosed as a leg injury. I personally didn't see it. I didn't see any type of leg injury happen. So I'm going off what reports were saying in regards to Rolf and Gio, but I heard different from the whole Gio thing, which we put on our Twitter if you guys are interested in say what we heard from that. And Rolf, I didn't see him get hurt. I didn't see anything. I just saw him leaving the practice a little bit mad or aggravated. I don't know which one of the two you want to take, but yeah. So back to that. Gio, where do you see him on this team? What position?
Depending on where we play, I'll just throw him on a wing, to be honest.
Yeah, but okay. And I want to counter that. If a lot of what we saw today, it looked like the Galaxy are going to be using the wings to center the ball. Do you think Gio could do that?
No doubt. And if Gio does make this squad or does make a starting 11 from what I saw today, it's not because it's Giovanni Dos Santos and he's a designated player. I think anybody who makes a starting 11 is because they honestly earned that spot. Because I did not see anybody slacking off. And there is no way anyone could slack off on this team.
Was everybody there?
Everybody but Gio.
What about Chris Pontius? He was there?
Yep, Chris Pontius looked nice. He scored some bangers too.
Yep.
He's looking really good. He's looking like Chris Pontius of before he got hurt.
How
BJ looking?
Hey, you know what? He wasn't there, was he?
Oh, not everyone was there. Can't confirm.
Never mind. You're right.
Damn, there. Dog.
You smart.
No, but hey, on both sides, I could tell you that everyone was on their game. There's one person that stood out to me that was kind of trash, and I hate to say his name because I don't want to see him at the Jersey Revit kill and be
like, not trash, dog. He just looks preseason form, dog. That's not trash. Oh, never mind. You keep that track. I was thinking Ola Kamara, but
Not chill. I can't. No, that's
no. Ola Kamara gets a pass for the rest of his life.
Lamson.
He was making some suspect ass.
If you thought Bingham's footwork was off, oof.
Oh yeah.
Oof. Listen. I haven't seen this Matt Lamson guy play. I haven't seen him in practice, but. And not a single point since he's been acquired have I felt like this guy's going to be the next big thing.
I don't even, like, from what I saw today, bro, I don't even know why he's even a second string.
Yeah.
If I had to throw it out there.
So yeah, am I going to be hearing more of that Big Bingham, Big Bingham, Big Bingham?
Big Bingham, dog. Big Bingham.
No, but I don't see how that man... I would have liked to see Romero get in there for a little bit.
He stayed on the second field practice. Anybody else, to be honest.
Yeah, Lamson was not doing great.
It was suspect.
That's really it. That's all we got from training, huh? Is there anything else that stood out for you that you want to say?
Nah, man, just that everybody looks like they're working a lot harder than they did any actual game that they played last year. I could honestly say this training, they work harder than the game, or just as hard as the actual game. So definitely it's beautiful. To
that, I think this is the hardest practice I've ever seen the Galaxy do. And I've seen quite a few, but the intensity level in this practice was really good. And I think in the past, it's been quite the opposite when fans are watching. I think when fans are watching, it's more of a rest day. It's kind of an obligation to get out there and kind of kick the ball around, and I've seen them practice for preseason, so let's not say it's just a preseason thing, but
who didn't we touch base on? We should touch base on. I don't know if you have anything to say, but Polenta.
Oh yep.
To be honest, from what I got, I don't think I saw enough of him, but he looks I'm like I was telling George earlier, he looks a little half a step off from everybody else. I don't know, it's because he started practice late or whatever. He had a couple plays where he knew how to anticipate and cut off plays, and he knows how to play out of the back, but he still looks half a step off from everybody else. Not in quality, though, just I think fitness, he's a little off.
You could definitely tell that he wasn't there for the beginning, and I think everyone has meshed up pretty well, but it'll take some time.
Yeah, I think it's just a couple more weeks, a couple more minutes of him practicing with the team. I think he'll be all right.
All right. I don't have anything else in regards to the training. Masa?
No, that was it on training.
Angel, do you want to close it out?
Yeah, a whole bunch of people responded on Twitter, actually, about what the FO should have in terms of gifts or to your tweet. But Malter's gone, so we'll relay the messages to the front office guys because there's some good stuff in there that I saw that was pretty tight.
Or if you didn't get it, Malter's always on his phone online watching what you guys are saying, so he's probably watching right now.
Yeah, so he's probably watching it right now. Yeah. But either way, we'll relay that because there's some good stuff in there. I mean, somebody mentioned. Our friends over at LAZR House, they mentioned coolers. But not the styrofoam ones, because then
you guys remember. Not styrofoam coolers.
But then you guys remember what happened to Eddie at Nagnew, so you know.
And shout out Eddie. I saw him today at practice too. So what's up? All right,
cool. Yeah. But no styrofoam coolers.
Yeah, don't do styrofoam coolers.
No, I'm good. I mean, I didn't have shit to say, so Masa. I know. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I wasn't at that training session, so I don't know.
Should I have a fake ass job like us?
Yeah, you're right. Instead, I was right now eating Oreos while you guys were talking. So, you know, that was my highlight. But that's it. George, close it out. Let's do it.
All right. With that being said, this has been another episode of Straight from the Stands. Oh, shout out Nelson. Nelson is no. Shout out Nelson. A lot of the images you guys are going to see used moving forward as far as our covers are going to come from him. So if you guys want some quality pictures, follow some guy. I know throughout the season he's probably going to be posting up some dope shots that he's done or that he's going to be doing. Follow him, Nelson, NELSON.JPG underscore.
Not here, bitch.
he posted, I'm pretty sure we're going to use the cover for his picture. So whatever our cover is, came from him. Shout you out, Nelson. Thank you. But with that being said, it's been another episode of Straight from the Stands. This is your boy, Rudy. I am Smarts. You can follow me. Oh, that's not me, huh? Follow me, JUndefeated7, Instagram and Twitter.
Hey, no, seriously, go bug Rudy. Ask him what the hell is going on with him. Everybody, go. He's at I Am Smarts. Oh, right?
So for those that don't know, I Am Smarts is currently training for the 2023 marathon. So he's not recording with us for a little bit.
Yeah, well, go bug him. Tell him to come back so he can.
Yeah, tell him you need him, dog. I hate talking this much.
Yeah, but go follow me. I'm not mad at you. Close it out. Just follow me at normal @AMS.
Peace, love, and G's up.